The scripture reading today is from the book of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the word of the Lord.
Yes, I'm on? Good, good, thank you. We're continuing our study of the Gospel of Mark. We've been in that book for quite some time now. And last week, Pastor Tom began our discussion on chapter 13, Mark 13, which is the end of the chapter that Sheila just read to you. And he talked about end times. This morning we're going to continue looking at the same chapter, verses 24 to 37, where Jesus teaches a lesson about the fig tree. And knowing that summer is near when you see it budding. Likewise, he says, you will know the end is near when you see the stress and desolation that we talked about last week. This begs a most important question. When Jesus returns, will you be ready? My prayer this morning is that each one of us will be able to answer that question in the affirmative with assurance. Matthew 24, verse 44 says, so you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Thus, it is incumbent upon each of us to begin making preparation immediately. The story is told about a superintendent of a large Christian school that was concerned about the disarray he found in so many of the classrooms that he visited. Papers were often strewn all over the floor, and the students' desks were surrounded by litter. Feeling strongly that proper learning could not take place in such an untidy environment. He decided to take action. He chose a single classroom for an experiment. He introduced himself to the students and made this proposition. Your teacher, your principal, and I provide a well-equipped classroom for you to enjoy, but we need your help in keeping your desk and the classroom orderly. Many of you have crumpled papers inside your desks and with books left open and pages bent. Often there are pencils on the floor under your desk, along with all kinds of other debris. I would like each of you to clean out your desk today and begin this school year resolving to keep it clean. One day I will return and inspect your desk, and the person with the neatest desk will be given this $100 bill. I won't tell you which day it will be. It will be a surprise. Not even your teacher or the principal will know the day. The children squealed with excitement and began immediately pulling things from their desk, filling the trash baskets with crumpled papers, stacking their books neatly inside their desk, and neatly lining up their pens and pencils. Every morning for the first week, every student checked his or her desk to make sure it was in perfect condition, confident that this would be the day that the superintendent would return. Over the next week, a few boys grew weary of the exercise and returned to their former habits. By the third week, several students remarked, "I doubt if he'll come back at all. He just said that to make us clean our desk." After 2 months, no one in the classroom bothered to inspect their desk. And in fact, they basically forgot about the superintendent's promise, except for one little girl. Dutifully, she inspected her desk every morning and several times a day, making sure things were in proper order. For months, the other students teased her. "He's not coming back. Why do you keep looking for him? You look stupid believing that promise anyway." Still, she remained quiet, kept her desk in perfect condition, and waited. Near the end of the school year, there was a knock at the door, and the superintendent entered. Quickly, the students flung open their desk and began frantically cleaning them. But the superintendent held up his hand for them to stop. All the students were asked to stand beside their desk at attention while the superintendent inspected each desk. One after another, he rejected them for being unkempt. One boy tried giving excuses, but to no avail. Another blamed the teacher for not reminding them. Still another blamed the superintendent for making them wait so long. Finally, the superintendent arrived at the desk of the little girl, who confidently displayed her well-kept desk while beaming at the superintendent. After inspecting her desk, he took her by the hand to the front of the classroom and awarded her the $100 bill. "Boys and girls," he said gently, "this girl never stopped believing I would return, so she kept her desk in perfect order. She didn't need to worry about what day or even what time of the day I would arrive, because she was always ready, always ready." That is the key word for our lesson this morning. Always be ready. In our text today, Jesus tells us that the Son of Man will most certainly be coming again. He says that he will be coming in the clouds with great power and glory. He also gives us some vital information about his return. He does not give us the date and time, but he does tell us what we are to do while we anticipate his arrival. It is obviously more important to Jesus that we know what it is that we ought to do while we wait for him, rather than being concerned about the dates and time of his coming. He makes it clear that we should let God worry about the timing, and we ought to just stay busy while we wait. We talked last week about a stressful time during the end times. Jesus tells us in the first few verses of today's scripture that following that stressful period, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. But then he goes on to tell us not to worry about this. Our concern is to remain among the elect. He will send his angels to gather us from the ends of the earth. An important part of being among the elect is reaching out in his love to others. The elect does not have to worry. They just need to be prepared. And we do this by being obedient to his instructions. Quite often, when there's a discussion about the end times, there's a lot of fear involved. But my purpose this morning is to encourage you as we review how Jesus says we are to live until he comes back again. As I look at these verses, I can see three reasons why we should feel encouraged. The first reason is because of the message he gives us in verses 32 to 34. But about that day, or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. You know, when Pastor Tom asked me to preach today, he asked me quite some time ago, he warned me that there was a lot of important information in this chapter. And I'm praying this morning that I can continue to do it justice, just as he did last week. I pray that each one of us will be a little more aware of what we need to do in order to be ready when Christ returns. Jesus already warned us in verses 28 to 31. He tells the disciples to learn from the parable of the fig tree. When they see these events unfolding, they are to be prepared. We're also warned to spend less time attempting to set dates for his return. If we do, we're almost certain to get sidetracked, and we may be tempted to stop watching and praying by putting too much emphasis on trying to understand the mind of God. By doing so, we set ourselves up as someone who is superior to Jesus. He said clearly in verse 32 that not even the Son knows the day or the hour. Instead of getting caught up in trying to determine the mind of God and trying to determine God's plan, we should spend our time preparing for his return. You may recall a few Sundays ago we looked at Mark chapter 12 and discussed the parable about the vineyard. In that parable, Jesus talked about the bad tenants who beat and killed the servants and even the son that was sent by the owner of the vineyard. In that message, Jesus exposed the religious leaders that killed the prophet sent by God. And now they were indeed planning to kill the son. As he talked, the religious leaders in his audience realized that Jesus was referring to them as the tenants and to himself as the stone, which was rejected by the builders. Mark 12:10 says, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." This new building, of which he is the cornerstone, is the church. In these verses that we're looking at today, he tells us that he's going to be expecting much from this new building. There's always a lot of work and planning before any significant event. Jesus tells us that we need to get busy in order to be ready. As he preaches his message, Jesus talks about his departure from earth as well as his return. He tells his listeners that he would return, that he would be sent back to earth on God's orders, and he would then put in place God's wishes for mankind, both Jews and Gentiles. He tells them that they are not to sit around idle or spend time on useless speculation, but they need to spend time preparing. If you could get me that water that's there, I would appreciate it. This message, the message in these verses, thank you, Sheila. The message in these verses is just as much for us today as it was for them. We must leave the timing of this event to God and concentrate on preparing ourselves for his return. Jesus makes it clear that no one, including himself in his humanness, knows the exact date of his return. He gives notice that the exact date of his return was up to the Father and the Father alone. He says that no one on earth, or even the angels, would ever know that time in the future when he would come back. As Pastor told us last week, always be on guard. Be alert. As we said a minute ago, Jesus talked in verse 28 about the fig tree budding. Just as summer is imminent when this happens, his coming would be imminent when we see the days of distress begin to unfold. Yes, Jesus did give us some specifics about his return, but the bottom line is that we are to be obedient to his wishes and pray while we watch for his return. Excuse me. I like the way Mark 13:33 reads in the King James Version, New King James Version. "Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is." Jesus instructs us to watch with our eyes on the future, but we are also supposed to do so on our knees. He has given us a direct mandate to be in prayer, or to be prayer warriors, while we wait for his return. But why pray? The answer is that it is incumbent on every Christian to be prayed up so that we would be ready to go with him when he returns. Should we watch? Yes. Should we pray? By all means. Should we try to fix the date of his return? Absolutely not. But we are to be busy in prayer as we see events unfold around us. It is totally not okay to go against the message of Jesus, which is expressed in these verses. as Christians, we do not need to fear the end times. In fact, we should feel encouraged because of the Master as he talks about himself in verses 34 and 35. It is like a man going away. That's Jesus. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge. That's us. Each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. Verse 34 tells us that the Master, Jesus Christ, is departing from this earth and going away to heaven. But he will return at his Father's bidding. He also talks about his servants and how he is leaving them in charge, with each having an assigned responsibility. Before he leaves, he is assigning every one of us something to do in his home, which is the church, while he's away. The first and most significant assignment is that all of us are to keep watch and to pray. Jesus says that during the time he is away, we are to be working. We are to devote ourselves to being faithful to our assigned responsibilities, much like a soldier on guard duty. We are to be constantly dedicated to carrying out his command to share the gospel with others so that they too will be ready when he returns. You may recall that he reemphasized this command as he gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. That order remains in effect today. Indeed, Jesus, the Master of the universe, he created the universe. He sustains it and is sovereign over it. But while we are here, we are to be involved in seeing others come into the kingdom. He has plenty of room for all those that trust in him. The latter part of verse 34 tells us that the doorkeeper has been given the special task of guarding the truth. As I read this verse, I was struck by the awesome responsibility that is given to pastors and elders to guard the faith. Not only are they to watch for the return of the Master, but they must also do their best to see that only correct doctrine is allowed to enter into the house of God while he is away on this journey. Thankfully, before he left, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to oversee the well-being and ongoing of his church. Okay, so now we've talked about the message concerning the return of Christ. We've spoken about the Master as he discusses his return to earth on behalf of his Father. Over the next few minutes, I want to spend a little time talking about the majesty of his return. Let's look at verses 36 and 37 of that chapter. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Folks, listen. When he returns, it will not be as it was before. I remind you, folks, watch. I say to Grace Church this morning, every one of us, watch. I say to Stanford, I say to Norwalk and to Greenwich, watch. I say to everyone, watch. The last time he came as a baby. But this time he will return as a champion for his people. He came before to die at the hand of Satan. And now he returns to completely destroy the hold of Satan. He came before to suffer affliction. Now he comes to remove all affliction. Last time he came to teach God's way. He comes now to reveal God's triumph. Just as we often sing the song, there's something majestic about his name. There's something majestic and royal about his return. When he comes, there will be no second guessing as to why he came or when his return. He will return, and it is incumbent upon every child of God to watch and pray, lest he or she miss the great homegoing of all of God's children as they are gathered to go home. The fact that there are no restrictions on the time of his return lends credibility to his majesty. God is clearly outside of time and is thus not restricted by it. God is above and beyond all time. And Jesus is simply telling everyone that wants to hear it that it does not matter when he returns. Just the fact is, he will return. When he returns, it may be evening time or sunrise. It could be midnight or 12 noon. He will not tell his time according to our time clock or our expectations. But he will come back when God says it's time for him to return. In the meantime, he encourages each one of us to watch and pray. He who is not constrained by time and will come into our time and will take his elect to be with him forever to a place where there will be no time. He tells us in no uncertain terms, be ready. His return will be swift and accomplished in a moment. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 18 says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Folks, that will be something to behold that day. I have no idea of how that will be accomplished, but Scripture says it, and I believe it. In that moment, gravity will lose its hold on the saints, and the saints that are still alive will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He will then take us to the place that he talked about preparing for us in John 14, verses 2 and 3. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you with me so that you may be where I am. I don't know how that sounds to you folks, but it sure sounds good to me. I want to be ready. He tells us in these verses to watch and be ready to go with him to a place that is far removed from the strife and strain of our daily living. He says to be ready because when he comes back, it would be too late to start preparing. At that time, it would be too late to apologize to people that we've hurt. There will not be enough time for our friends and neighbors that are non-believers to seek him. The Master, in his majesty, warns us to not fall asleep. There's too much work to be done for us to sit back and let the professionals do it. The message is that we all must watch and pray as we wait for his majestic return. Indeed, his next return will be a momentous occasion, folks. It will be awesome. We needn't fear, since he has promised to come back for both the dead and alive that are in him. Those that have endured until the end will be justified in their persistence, just as that little girl was in the story about the superintendent. As I prepared for today's sermon, I recalled a game we used to play as kids, hide and seek. We would always declare, after we had finished counting, "Ready or not, here I come." This simple principle applies to what our Lord has said in verses 36 and 37 of today's scripture. Ready or not, he's coming. Are you fully prepared? Should that be today? Have you done all you know the Lord has asked you to do? Are you living your faith and fulfilling the work you've received? Most important, how is your relationship with him? He may not come today, but then again, he might. Think about that for a second, folks. Think about it. What if he comes back this afternoon? Are you ready? Are you ready for his return? When he returns, it would be too late to make any preparation or engage in any work that is left undone. Folks, I implore you this morning, don't let him find you sleeping. As Pastor said last week, be on your guard, be alert. Keep your eye on the ball. Watch and be ready. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I just pray that each one of us would focus on you and the work that you left for us. Pray, Lord, that we would even now, this morning, at this moment, we would be preparing for your return. Lord, thank you for your promises. Thank you for the promise that you will come to get your elect. And Lord, we want to be one of those. So Lord, we pray that you would help us to stay on track. Remind us daily of what you called us to do. Father, I pray that we would just continue to keep our eyes on you and do as you have told us to do. We thank you this morning for being God, for being who you are, for keeping us, for watching over us, for guiding us, teaching us, and showing us what you want us to do. We thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just talk with you and to talk to you. In Jesus' name, amen.